From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. The beloved children's book, Goodnight Moon, by Margaret Wise Brown, has delighted generations of children and parents. But 10 years ago, authors Eric Origen and Gan Golan parodied the George W. Bush administration in children's book form called Goodnight Bush. Now we should perhaps not be surprised that the pair has published a new parody in the same vein called Goodnight Trump. In December, a group of activists gathered at the Trump Tower in New York for a guerrilla book reading of Goodnight Trump, while a visibly angry Eric Trump stood by and looked on. Gan Golan now joins me. He is a New York Times bestselling author, artist, and agitator. His earlier books include Goodnight Bush, as well as the graphic novel about the economic crisis, The Adventures of Unemployed Man. He now joins me to discuss Goodnight Trump. Welcome to the program, Gan.
Hi, Sonali. Pleasure to be here.
So I should say welcome back. It's been many years. We've had you on about your earlier books. Goodnight Trump. Should it have taken this long to put this book out?
Well, we certainly were not planning on creating a sequel, but we also were not planning on having another incompetent man baby as our president. So here we are.
And in fact, wasn't Goodnight Bush released quite a long time into the Bush tenure, whereas it's taken less than 2 years into the Trump tenure for this version of the Trump book?
Yes. The first book was really a lament for us to grieve and heal at the end of 8 long years of the Bush administration. This one is coming much sooner because it's really a call to action for us to rise up and remove this administration from office.
So instead of asking you to read us from the book, I want to play a video clip of the guerrilla action that I mentioned of this book being read inside the Trump Tower by a group of activists so that people can get a taste of some of the words in the book. Here is that action.
Good night, Trump. In the very classy room, there was a golden mirror and a silver spoon and a broadcast of a half-baked story from a fake newsroom.
And there were billionaires sending thoughts and prayers and a pair of manly mittens and 2 grabbable kittens, a big beautiful wall and a Russian nesting doll.
A golden seat for tweets in a rush. And a pretty young bunny whom money has hushed. Good night, classy room. Good night, heirloom clan costume. Good night, cowards kissing up to a buffoon.
Good night, bizarre handshake. Good night, ketchup on a steak. Good night, torches for hate crimes. And good night, fine people on both sides. Good night, cabinet of whack jobs. Good night, White House run like a mob.
Good night, drilling in national parks. And good night, 7 sins check marks. Good night, undermined law of the land. And good night,
gutted healthcare plan.
And that is a reading of Goodnight Trump happening inside the Trump Tower in New York by a group of activists in holiday gear reading out loud from the book. The book is co-written by Eric Origen and Gan Golan, who now joins me. Gan, tell us about this particular action.
Well, it was, of course, a sort of secret action, and we began broadcasting on Facebook without telling anyone where we were headed. But we just felt that because it was the holidays and in the spirit of giving, that we really should have, sort of as a gift to Trump, have a little bit of a story time right in the belly of the beast. So we had a bit of a flash mob of people who's kind of secretly infiltrated Trump Tower, and then, you know, once we got past security, gathered right at the perfect moment to read it to everyone who was there. And of course, Eric Trump was kind of standing on the balcony, glowering at us the entire time as security was also trying to find out what was happening and and get us out of there. Of course, it was funny to watch security grab a copy of the book and start thumbing through it and and really strain themselves to keep themselves from smiling.
So let's talk a little bit about a little bit more about the book itself. One of the things that jumped out at me, if for people who are familiar, if you have kids, you're probably familiar with Goodnight Moon, the original book. The whole story takes place inside this room, and it's kind of an elaborate room. It's very garishly decorated. And I imagine that it was not too difficult to translate this room into some version of Trump's penthouse, maybe with his redecorated Oval Office?
We borrowed a lot of details straight from his penthouse. You know, the kind of innocence of the great green room that was in Goodnight Moon has now been kind of assaulted by Trump's terrible interior decorating style. There's gilded gold columns and you know, plenty of fake gold throughout the room.
And the issues that you touched on in the book are varied because there are so many of them. In fact, I was just thinking to myself, the news cycle is moving so fast. It's so fast paced that things that might have just happened a day or two ago feel like they happened a week or two ago. Things that happened the week before, we've just forgotten about. So you obviously had an enormous number of issues that you could have addressed in the book. How did you narrow down which ones to address?
It was a very difficult challenge. You know, it's twice as long as Goodnight Bush.
Really?
And we're only 2 years into this administration. And it was just incredible the amount of crises and disasters that this administration has been kind of foisting upon this country and the world. So we had a tough time finding the things that seemed to resonate and were the most important. And certainly, you know, in the week after the book went to print, there were 10 more. So we tried to cover as much as we could. But, you know, we know that this isn't just about what's in the book, but also about what people are doing out in the streets and trying to challenge this administration. So, you know, we hope that the book leads from people reading it at home in private to reading it together to actually going out and doing something in the real world to change the direction that we're headed.
One of my favorite lines was, "Good night, hole in the man-child's soul." I thought that was quite poetic. And I think, you know, just especially given the sort of evangelical support for Trump, from a demographic that's supposed to underpin their actions through compassion, the hole in the soul of Trump, I thought, was really beautifully described, but also illustrated. Tell us about the illustrations in this book.
Well, we, of course, wanted to evoke the kind of magical style of Goodnight Moon, but talk about these very serious things. And so I, as the illustrator, really studied the way that Clement Hurd, the illustrator, did the first book, but found a way to talk about things like the fact that our president seems to be just a profoundly empty and immature person. And in the book, I don't want to give too much away about the ending, but it seems like this hole will never be filled. And it might be all of us, if we don't do something about it, that sort of gets sucked into this emptiness that's inside of this one person. And so we wanted to talk about what was happening in the country, but also how we're at the mercy of what's really a kind of incomplete human being that is driving us headlong into disaster.
And you can tell so much through both the combination of images and words. So, for example, in the page about Hurricane Maria in Puerto Rico, it says, "Good night, towels thrown at Puerto Rico." And the words on the paper towel roll are 100% racist disaster capitalism. So through that combination of words and imagery, you were able to tell so much. And of course, for people who might remember, this is all based on what it was that Trump was doing in Puerto Rico.
Yeah, well, you know, this was a part of the United States that was in desperate need of humanitarian aid. And he thought it would be cute to just show up and throw paper towels at people, which, of course, is deeply offensive, and then compliment himself at how excellent his response was, saying, you know, that only 17 people perished. And of course, we know that that was false. And if you look at the paper towels illustration in the book, you know, we've put in a lot of details so that you don't just read it once through. You sort of go back and find all these other layers of meaning. Under disaster capitalism, it says number 2975. And that's actually the number of people that were estimated to have died.
Oh, wow. I missed that.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. We hope that people look these things up. You know, we really tried to, you know, it's meant to be a humorous book and sort of elevate people's spirits in a very difficult time. But there's a lot of serious things that we talk about at the same time.
Good Night, Child Held in Cage was particularly powerful as well, of course, referring to the immigrant, harsh anti-immigrant policies that Trump has led and pushed. And Good Night, Kids Gunned Down at School as well. These assaults that Trump has led against children, I assume you really wanted to highlight the irony of bringing that up in a parody of a children's book.
Yes, absolutely. And though we didn't create the book for children, I think we created it because we care about children and we care about our children's future. And, you know, I wouldn't just hand this book to children the way you might do with Goodnight Moon. But we found that a lot of parents have actually found the book really useful to them to sit down with their children and to talk about what's happening in the world right now. You know, children are, they're aware. They're like sponges. They know that a lot of things are going wrong right now. And this book has provided a lot of parents a sort of a gentler way to sit down and have those serious conversations about what's happening. So in that sense, it really is a children's book. And we're hoping that people find it meaningful to them and a way to have those more difficult conversations.
So I, too, don't want to give away the end of the book, but if we can talk about it in vague terms, there is a catharsis at the end of the book, perhaps a sort of revenge fantasy against this person who has occupied the White House, which I'm assuming is your attempt to inspire people to rise up, to resist Trump, to really be part of a broad mass resistance that just says we just can't allow this man to continue doing what he's doing.
Yeah, absolutely. And without giving too much away, but it really is meant to reflect all the incredible work that people are already doing to overthrow this administration from the first day. You know, the largest marches in U.S. history have been happening, and that work continues. And so this is really a morale booster for people who consider themselves either socially aware or a part of the resistance, and for all the people out there who are just doing incredible work to challenge this administration and help turn the lights out and put them to bed so that we can wake up in the morning and start building the future that our children deserve.
So, Gan, what do you think the role of art has been in this Trump era? I remember during the Bush era, we really saw a resurgence of political art. There was a sort of blossoming and a renaissance in political art. George W. Bush made it, you know, just offered so much fodder. I feel like in the Trump era, things have gotten so dark that it's actually harder to do parody. It's harder to do comedy and political satire because things have gone beyond, far beyond what we could have ever imagined they could go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that makes things like humor and art and culture all the more important, you know, as things sort of get very dark outside as we look out into the world, it's very easy to get demoralized. And I think humor is a way that we keep the light on inside and sort of keep up our own spirits so that we can continue to survive and persist and then do the hard work of undoing all the damage that this administration has done. And I always like to think of political satirists as like the paramedics for our political system, in that if we show up, it means there's probably been a terrible accident that's happened. But the good news is that we're here to save the patient. We're here to sort of beat on the chest of our democracy until it comes back to life. So I think art and culture plays a really crucial role in difficult moments like this.
And you're not just an artist. You're also somebody who, you know, considers yourself an activist, I assume?
Yes, I work as an organizer and artist at the same time. And I think that all social movements throughout history have had art and culture very much at the center of what they do, whether it's songs during the civil rights movement or dance and during the anti-apartheid movement. And you'll see this throughout history. And again, I think the art and culture is really the beating heart of a lot of social movements. And so I try and work as a political organizer, but always bring a sense of artistry and humor to the work itself.
Well, I want to wish you good luck on this book. It's a book that's available in bookstores. People can get it. It's been out for a little while. Good luck, Gan, and I can't wait to see what you're up to next.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for having me.
Gan Golan is the New York Times bestselling author, artist, and agitator, and co-author with Eric Origen of the book Goodnight Trump, a parody of the children's book Goodnight Moon. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and now on Instagram at RU with Sonali. Thank you so much. Really appreciate it.